Hello and a very warm welcome to Political Economy with Shweta Punj. You're watching Money Control. India and the United States are expected to sign a mini trade agreement soon. The suspense around what the deal could include continues. But India has made it clear that giving the United States access to Indian agriculture and dairy market is a red line that India will not cross. Farm exports evidently is the elephant in the room. India-US farm trade remains modest at about $8 billion, with India exporting rice, shrimp and spices, and the US sending nuts, apples and lentils. But as trade talks progress, the United States is eyeing bigger farm exports, maize, soybean, cotton and corn, to help narrow its $45 billion trade deficit with India. Experts have raised concerns that tariff concessions could pressure India to weaken its minimum support prices and public procurement programs. Key protections that shield farmers from price crashes by guaranteeing fair prices and stable crop purchases. To understand if the worries around protecting farmers are indeed a matter of concern, or is India being too protective? I have with me the eminent Indian agricultural economist, Dr. Ashok Gulati. Dr. Gulati, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
There's one person in India that can really put this into perspective for us, this whole farm debate, the red lines that India has drawn, in its negotiations with the United States. I want to get in your thoughts. We heard the agriculture minister yesterday and day before yesterday talking about how India will not let down its farmers, and we will stand firm on not opening up our markets to U.S. dairy and agricultural products.
Well, one is a negotiating stand, and the other is how far do we compromise, because there are many other interests. As you rightly said, that India has a trade surplus with the U.S. To the tune of about $45 billion. And overall trade deficit of U.S. is about $1.2 trillion. So their ultimate objective is to reduce their trade deficit. And that can be done through several ways. One of the easiest way, India is importing crude oil to the tune of about $180 billion. Almost 40% is coming from Russia. And then there are other countries, even smaller ones, Qatar and Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, and whatnot. Now, out of $180 billion, you can easily afford $25, $30 billion to buy it from US. So this will bring down your trade deficit vis-a-vis US. Then you need high tech defense equipment. If you need some of those things, you can always get it from them, or some high-tech things, and you can reduce the deficit. Coming to agriculture, our agriculture trade with US is very limited, as you said, only $8 billion, and we are trade surplus again in that. Shrimp is our biggest export item to US. And shrimp is going at 0 to 5% duty in the U.S. market. Now, naturally, the other party says, if we are allowing your products to come at 0 to 5% import duty, why are you putting 60% duty on milk, or you are not allowing our soybean exports or maize exports? Our argument is, your soya is GM, genetically modified, so is your corn, and your milk, if you are interested in sending that, your cows are unfortunately non-vegetarian. They are fed on things besides the fodder. There is some elements of blood and what is coming out of the slaughterhouses. So, hamara dharam bhrasht ho jayega usse. So, US says, we are ready to give you a certification that these cows have been fed on grass, so they are pure vegetarians, but you are putting a 60% import duty on skimmed milk powder. So naturally, the two sides have to come to some agreement. You can't keep on fighting and have a stand on one way or the other. Think about if US tomorrow says we are going to cut down your H-1B visas by 50%. What will you do? You will lose billions and billions of dollars. Okay? So they have relatively an upper hand in terms of destroying your exports, both in the goods as well as services. Luckily, they are not talking of the services today. They
Yeah.
can talk it tomorrow. Ultimately, that's the game. So question is, how much do we accommodate if we say, no, we are not going to open up agriculture at all because your products are GM? Well, our cotton is also GM, and GM seed is very much in the food system. So there is a bit of, I would say hypocrisy in that sense. But how much to allow, what should be the duty, that is what a matter of negotiation is. And in that matter, I think one can do, okay, a million or 2 million tons we'll allow to import at 15% duty, but then our duties are at 50%, 60%, and then give us 3 years, 5 years to reduce those duties gradually. Corn, you can put it in the ethanol production. Why are you putting your rice in ethanol? Rice is FCI. The economic cost of rice is 42 rupees a kg, and they are giving to ethanol industry at 22 rupees 50 paisa a kg. This is a disaster. And I think we have to save our water. And if corn can come for ethanol from outside, fine, go ahead with that. How much at what duty? Of course, this is a matter of negotiation. You give up some space to get some excess space there. And the best thing to get space in the US market, there could be processed products. Fresh ones always have difficulty in terms of sanitary and phytosanitary measures, but we have succeeded in shrimps. But the duty is already there, zero, five. So what can you do? You can. But on the textiles, particularly the textile industry, the duty is about 10 to 11%. And if Bangladesh is being imposed now 35% duty and China higher or Vietnam higher, India can be a huge gainer if they can negotiate 0% duty on textiles. So if you want to get into that at zero import duty on textile, that will be a major gain. And if you have to give some space, you cannot be self-sufficient in agriculture for everything. And that should not be the objective. 55 to 60% of our edible oil is being imported. Okay, so saying that we want to be have self-sufficiency in everything, that's not feasible, that's not desirable. Wherever you have comparative advantage, you should be exporting that, and where you have comparative disadvantage, you should be importing that. Now, how much to be imported and whether they are subsidizing hugely their agriculture and you need to realign your policies on subsidies. All those internal reforms will have to be done when the external borders are opened. That was the whole game in 1991. What did we do? We opened up to the global world. We adjusted our exchange rate and then we reduced the duties. And then you have to carry out the domestic reforms to cope up with that situation. And we have come out pretty well. 91 reforms should be a lesson for us, rather than remaining under protective duties of 60%, 100%, they are good for negotiations, but
Right.
permanently putting that breeds inefficiency in the system.
Right. So,
Back to you.
Doctor Gulati, you're saying now that now is the time to open up agriculture. It needs to be like what we did with our private sector in 1991. 2025 could well be that for the agriculture farm sector. But wouldn't that the counter argument to that could be that could really push our farmers to the brink. They are not ready for the competition right now. Land holdings are smaller. Technologically, we are not as advanced. So that could really, aggravate the pain in the rural economy.
We are a net exporter of agriculture. We are small, but we are the largest exporter of rice in the world. Okay, one third of the rice exports of the world is from India. Okay, so if we are smallholders and we are not competitive, how are we exporting? We are a net exporter. People don't know. US is a net importer of agriculture. They export many raw commodities, but they import processed food. And the import of processed food is much more than the export of fresh commodities. So US is a net importer, China is a net importer, India is a net exporter of agriculture. Okay, so if we are not competitive, how are we exporting? But having said that, there are also imports. Our exports last year, 24-25, was about $52 billion. And our imports are about 36, $37 billion. That's roughly the range. And out of that, when we are importing, we are already integrated to the world. And as I said, edible oil is our biggest import item. 55 to 60% of our consumption of edible oil is being imported. Next is pulses. We are importing at least 5 to 7 million tons of pulses. So saying that, oh, farmers are on the brink and therefore they can't cope up with this. Well, you are exporting also. First, liberate them to export as much as they can. And then import in a gradual manner, in a regulated, somewhat controlled, in the beginning. But saying that we will not allow 1 kilogram of imports from US is totally a misguided philosophy and a misguided policy.
According to you, what are the low-hanging fruits that India could go for in this negotiation? We believe that the deal is almost done, and we've heard President Trump also say that. Where are the areas? What are the commodities, agricultural commodities, where we could actually open up the markets to the United States, and the impact on the farmer community might, it won't be as much or as feared, or as bad as
You
feared.
know, you are taking almonds every day. 90% of almonds being sold in India is coming from US. 90%. Okay. Now, what has happened to our farmers? Apples also is being imported quite a bit, right? And we have put 50% duties and all that, calculating all the cess and special taxes on that. Their interest is if almonds can come at 10 to 15% duty, why not walnuts? Walnut has 100% duty. Their interest is in walnut. So let it also come. If almonds can come at 10 to 15% duty, why walnuts are at 100%? Cranberry, their interest is in cranberry. We are putting 30% duty. You can reduce it to 20%, 15%, 10%, whatever. So those are the commodities which don't impact the larger segment of agriculture at all. Okay. Then there are issues with because their biggest export item to the world, agriculture, is soya. And soya is all GM. And the world, the largest exporters of soya in the world, the US and Brazil, it's all GM all over. Now, we don't want to say, oh, we don't want GM, but your cotton is all GM, 90% cotton is GM. So it's a tussle. And when we needed feed, we did import GM feed. We have imported GM feed of soya and corn. So, controlled way is that you give a tariff rate quota. That okay, up to 1 million ton, 2 million tons, we will allow at 15% duty. And at present, we have 50, 50, and that will be gradually reduced over a period of 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. That is how the negotiations are. And to do this, when we are giving space, you kindly give us space in the textile sector, in the leather sector, and footwear, which are labor intense.
Okay,
That's the way
so
to bargain.
okay, so Dr. Gulati, I want to ask you that When we look at the negotiations, and it clearly seems like there is a very cogent argument that you presented on opening up India's agri and dairy sector. So, from a political point of view, how would you see this move of opening up India's agri and dairy? Because politically, there could be a backlash, and we've seen in the past also India has tried to bring in farm laws which were taken back. The farmer community erupted in massive protests that went on for several months. So from a political point of view, this government would not like to be seen on the bad side of the farmers, because then the whole battle becomes about messaging, and this is something that the opposition party will not let go.
Yes, sure. Opposition has to oppose everything. That's why they are called opposition. Whether right or wrong, farm laws were written in the Congress manifesto itself that this is what they wanted to do. And then if this government wants to do, they start opposing it. So this is the politics of India. But it's a communication exercise. If the Prime Minister, you have to take due care and in a somewhat regulated and under your watch, how to open up the system. Otherwise, stop the import of edible oil in the country. Is that not hurting to the edible oil farmers, oilseed farmers in the country? I'm saying 55 to 60% of what you are consuming in the country is being imported. This is huge.
And why is it that we are not growing oil seeds here? Why are
So
we importing
what
so
is
much?
what is that? Why the farmers are not coming on the streets that you're killing us? So
So,
it's a way gradually you build up the system. You are importing pulses. Is that not hurting the pulses growers? Stop it and let the prices of pulses go to 200 rupees a kg. Okay, so you have to see the balancing act of the consumer as well as the producer. And how much to open, at what rate it should be opened, this is what the calibration of the policy analysis is.
Fair
You
enough.
can't open all the gates at zero import duty. Okay, everything you can throw in the country, it will be like floodgates coming and country may not be prepared. So first
Absolutely.
you open through tariff rate quota. But saying that we will not allow anything to import, you are already importing. Soya oil is coming already from US. You have become a net importer of cotton because you have killed your own gene revolution in cotton. We were the second largest exporter of cotton, and today we are net importer of cotton.
But how
And you
can you elaborate a little bit more on that, on how did we kill our own gene revolution?
The gene revolution, it was Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee who had the foresight, and he said what IT, information technology, is for India, BT, biotechnology, is for Bharat. And it should be Jai Jawan, Jai Kisan, but Jai Vigyan. It should be science-based agriculture. This was the vision of Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee. And in 2002, he took a bold step to allow GM cotton in the country. BT cotton came in. At that time, the production of cotton was only 13.3 million bales. Within 10 years, it went to 39 million bales, from 13 to 39. Look at that, 300% increase roughly. That was the gene revolution in the country. But then there's some Luddites and some other left-leaning people, they started shouting, oh, Monsanto and these multinationals, this, that, and you should not give them any trade fee and all that because the receipts were coming from the multinational and they had a system of charging the trade fee. And we started imposing all those price controls, and the companies, the big companies who have all these innovative seeds, they went out. They said, nothing, we don't want to do business in India. Now the production has come down. Our productivity has come down from 14, 15, 13, 14, 14, 15. That was the last. And after that, it had been gradually coming down. And today, our productivity is low. Our Productivity is 435 kilograms per hectare or so. China, Brazil, Australia are hovering between 1800 to 2000 kilograms per hectare. And they
Wow.
are all GM and next generation GM. So this is how you kill your gene revolution, and then you become 24, 25. We have become a net importer of cotton, and US is interested in selling cotton. It's all GM. Say that will also not be allowed. So
Is it a
I
health
think
argument that
at
we are making, or is it a commercial argument? What are why are we why is India so
today,
against GM? Yeah.
and that's a very good question. I think one, we don't believe in science. Perhaps our own genetic engineering approval committee, which looks into the safety part of it, right? Once they approve, they go through all the trials and all this. But
Right.
we have very vocal NGOs, and then we have some ideological wings in the country who want to go back to nature. Perfectly fine, go back to nature, provided you can feed 1.4 billion people. That's good. Farmers should have all the choice. But I think science, allowing science to work with all the safety precautions, there is no doubt about that. And science, when it comes all the world over. GM crops, 200 million hectares are being grown all over the world in 76 countries. And India is also part of that, but it is growing only cotton. And illegally, God knows whether BT Brinjal is already in the field, because Bangladesh has formally announced, and they are adopting it, they are getting. And if the farmers of Bangladesh are gaining from BT Brinjal, which is actually from the companies being, selling, Mahiko is selling in Bangladesh, and farmers will smuggle this way or that way, our system is so loose. So I think it's a matter of time. And even today, HTBT illegally is on almost 15 to 25% of the area. Government hasn't allowed, but farmers are getting it, and it's all fly-by-night operators. It's very well known.
So one of the
So
commercial arguments, Dr. Gulati, that has been put forth is that from a commercial point of view, is that we'll get increasingly dependent on the United States to get the GM seeds into the country, which is what happened in the past, and that could give them, more room to flex muscle and increase prices at their whim. Do you see merit in that argument?
well, I would say the same argument. 88% of your crude oil is being imported, right? And from a few countries. So today, Russia wants to tighten up the screw, or Saudi Arabia, or anyone else. You have to go. These are big multinational companies which are competing and bringing science. It's not the US government. Okay? The one company, Bayer, which bought Monsanto at $63 billion, is spending today $1.7 billion in agriculture research and development. $1.7 billion, that is more than the entire government of India ICAR budget. It's 70% higher than that. Okay, so one company is spending more than, and they basically work on four or five crops. And our budget of 9,000 crores, 10,000 crores, ICAR entire budget is for all 45 crops, and God knows. So we are way behind on agriculture research and development. We are a nation of rabbits. We are giving all these subsidies on fertilizer, 2 lakh crore, 2 lakh crore for free food. We are a nation of rabbits. Prime Minister says, oh, opposition is giving rabies. The government is giving the biggest rabies. They need to control that and put that saving into research and development, into irrigation, raise the productivity. Ultimately, it's the productivity that will win the world. And we have to feed the largest population with very limited land, and the quality of that land is degrading. So unless we invest in R&D, high tariffs and protectionists, so because we are small, this, that, these are all illogical arguments.
So, Dr. Gulati, my concluding question to you at the moment, from the arguments that we've just that I've just heard, it seems like the negotiators are approaching this specific area on agriculture and dairy more from a political point of view than an economic point of view. Would that be a correct inference to make?
I would say this is how do you want, what is the perception you want to leave with the country? Because we know we are a very vocal democracy. A lot of opposition and misinformation will immediately be in the, oh, we have surrendered to the US. Narendra, come and surrender, and Narendra surrendered. This is what the way opposition is communicating. I think these are all political things. They have to deal it politically from economic point of view and policy making, which is in the interest of the country. You cannot totally close the system, and you cannot allow the floodgates to suddenly come. You
Okay,
have to
so we have to
prepare.
take a, yeah, we have to, we have to.
Precautionary, yes, but saying that, oh no, our farmers are, we are the largest exporter of rice in the world and we have an import duty of 70% on rice. The world should be afraid of us. And we are putting an import duty of 70% on rice, whereas we are the largest exporter of rice. So these are contradictions because hardly anybody has looked at these things rationally. Now,
Okay.
GM question, when the genetic GAC has approved those things, then it's a political call. And political call wants to, I think Vajpayee Saab had great vision of science-led agriculture. We could have been the major exporter of gene technology to Africa and South Asia and the developing world. We could be the leader. The way we are saying IT, 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 we could have been saying the same thing on gene, gene, gene. The future is all gene editing. Are you going to stop it? Okay, fine, stop it. Live the way you lived 2000 years back. Go back. At that time, what was the population? What was the life expectancy? And how much was your area? You have to feed the largest population. You must increase your productivity. Your productivity is at least 30 to 50% below the world averages, and at many places, more than 50% less than, Chinese agriculture. China has lesser cropped area, 129 million hectares, and they are producing more than double of India's agriculture. More than double. And their holding size is less than ours. It's a smaller holder, smallest. Okay? So saying that smallholders can't do, I
Okay.
don't believe that.
All right.
You
Well,
have
coming
to
from
tune
you.
your technology and other resources to the smallholders.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Gulati, for that very, very
Thank you.
candid assessment. As Dr. Gulati has said, that this could be a 99, 1991-like moment for Indian agriculture, and that India needs to take a measured approach in how it decides to open up agriculture and dairy for the United States. He's also said that the Indian farmer community is prepared for the competition that the opening up of the sector could bring in. Thank you so much for tuning in, and big thank you to Dr. Gulati. Leave your thoughts and feedback in the comment section below. Of course, we'll keep tracking this story right here on Money Control. Thanks so much.